All right, I'm looking here at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise God. All right, we're talking about the manifesting of sons of God. We're in this area of Vengeance and Recompense, Volume 2. And we're over here in verse lesson number 31. So we've covered quite a distance here. And in here, he's saying, they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now with this, what I said to you is that this message is for grown folk. This message is for people not chronologically grown, because a person may be 12, 14 years old, but still mature in the things of God and in the Word of God. So this message is for people who are grown up or growing up or desiring to grow up. And so we're going to give you this message. So when we said manifesting sons of God, we're not talking about mature. We're not talking about our gender here. We're talking about mature offspring, okay? Then it says here that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Say, I'm a joint heir. All right, now, this is important because God speaks about Jesus in the scriptures, and in the gospels, he calls him the only begotten Son of God. Did you remember reading that? But after the gospels, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he didn't call him that anymore. He calls Jesus the firstborn from the dead, or the firstborn of many brethren, or the firstborn of the church. All you have to do is look it up. Never calls him only begotten Son of God anymore. Why? Because he's not the only begotten Son of God. He is the firstborn from the dead. Now, he was the only begotten Son of God when he came down here and died for you, but once he rose again, he was the firstborn. Come on now, I don't want to confuse you, but I do want you to get that religious thinking out of your mind, because that religious thinking kind of got us trapped back here where we can't receive part of our inheritance, because for us to receive it, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to have to grow up. And that kind of thinking, the other kind of thinking, won't let you grow up, see? It'll put Jesus way over here and you way over there. That's not true. I said, that's not true. Now, in this, he was raised from the dead. He died for our sins. Son of God died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. But he was buried. And when he's raised, the Bible calls him the firstborn of many brethren. Firstborn from the dead. So he was firstborn. Then there was secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. I'm in there somewhere. Are you in there? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying we were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, come on, by the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, let me find that. 1 Peter chapter 1, why am I staggering on that? I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Verse 20, isn't it verse 20? 23. Thank you, sister. And so we were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So we were born by the word of God. Say, I was born by the word of God. Now, over in Luke 8:11, it says that the seed is the word of God. That's what it said in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that the seed is the word of God. So the word of God is the seed. And you and I needed some natural seed to be born in this natural earth, didn't we? Yes. I mean, somebody had to supply some seed. Whether it came out of test tube or whether it came out of right out of person, it had to come out of somewhere. If you didn't get here that way, then something wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? We need to check, see who you are. Okay. Now, my point to you is it took a seed to give birth to it. See, but Mary got the seed and had Jesus. But the seed was the word of God. Am I right about it? And then it says over in chapter 1 of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was who?
God.
Who was the Word? God. The Word was God. Well, the seed is the Word. Well, if the seed is the Word and the Word is God, then the seed is God. And if the seed is God and we were born by that seed, then we must have the same thing in us that God's got in Him. So you cannot say, I'm only human. Because if you use that expression, then you're wrong. Yes. And you can't say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, now that you got two natures. You got a sinning nature and you got a divine nature. Now, both of them not there. One of them's gone.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to let you figure out which one. Amen to that. And if you were born of His seed, then you are got some of the same DNA in you that He has in Him.
That's right.
Y'all familiar with that thing? You look just like your mama. Y'all remember that? You look just like your dad. You're the spitting image. That's what they used to say. You're the spitting image of your dad. Well, what do they mean? They mean, hey, you come from you chip off the old block. You come from that same trunk. You come from that same origin, something there. How you follow? So I'm saying you must look something like Him.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about your body, because if God, He got five colors, black, white, yellow, red, and brown. I think that's what it is. All right. Well, if that were the case, God would be a monstrosity. So you know that's not talking about, He's talking about inside of your body. Inside of your body, you look like Him.
That's right.
See, what you have to do is strip the religion off of it. Once you strip the religion off of it, it starts to make sense.
That's right.
But religion confused people. And it let us see God way over here and we way over there, and never the twain shall meet. And that's not true. Adam and God were not two.
Yes.
They were one.
That's right.
All right, let's go to that. Let's go to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, look on the board. We have these scriptures on the board. Now, listen, I may just talk about your favorite bumper sticker in here today. I may just step on your toes, but Jesus is in here. He's walking down the aisles, and He's a healer. And He'll heal your toes before you leave out of here, if you stay in here long enough. Now, if you jump up and run out, then I can't help you there. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, see, the reason why I'm going over this, because I said this is grown folks' message, meaning that the things that I'm going to tell you are for mature Christians. And the reason why a lot of Christians have not matured is because of thinking like that. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you can't be two natures.
Right. That's right.
The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He said, hey, what fellowship has light with darkness?
Right.
You can't be that. You got to either be one or the other.
Yes.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
So I'm saved, and I was an old sinner, but I've been saved by grace.
Yes. That's right.
But if I keep letting that come out of my mouth, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If I keep saying that, then that's going to put that in my system.
That's exactly right.
I'm not ever expecting to perfect my walk, because I just know I'm an old sinner. And you've heard it, I'm just an old wash tub or whatever it is. That's an old worm in the dust or something like that. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Him. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, He who knew no sin was made sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
That's right.
Yes.
he says here that I'm a joint heir with Jesus. That means I get everything he's got. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm giving him things. I'm saying that what he got, I got. He got raised from the dead. He got his name. He got peace. He got joy. He got prosperity. He inherited the whole earth.
Right.
Praise God. I'm a joint heir with him.
That's right.
Say amen to that. God loves me just, he loves Jesus. He loves me just like he loved Jesus. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Look at all those scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what did I tell you to turn?
John 10.
All right, John 10. Put it up on the board, please. John 10, verse 30. They got it up there. All right. I and my Father are one. Didn't it say that? That's Jesus talking. All right. Next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why? Because now he's putting himself on the level with God.
Yeah.
All right, leave that right there. I'm going to come back to that. Let's go over here to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2, and look at the verse 5. All right, over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, I and my Father are one. Well, let that mind be in you. See, I like that I can put the scripture on the board because you can't argue with that. If you argue with that, you're dishonest. Really. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Keep going. Who being in the form of God, watch this, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think it was taking anything away from God for him to be equal with him.
Yes.
And half the people in the church, you put them, tell them they're in the God class and that they are really gods. Boy, let me tell you, they'll try to eat you alive, man. Pick up stones to stone him. Why? Because the devil knows the day you know that. Then you can take on a consciousness that when you walk in a room full of demons, they will bow. Just like they bowed before Jesus.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I understand Kunta Kinte, but I'm saying that you got to understand that's your natural, that's a natural thing. But that natural part of you won't cast out a devil.
Right.
I don't care whose lineage you come from. Well, I'm from the Rockefeller family. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. You will never cast out a devil saying, I'm from Rockefeller,
right,
or I'm from Kunta Kinte. You got to cast out a devil saying, I'm from God.
Yeah.
And that's where devil will come out. Now, are you with me here? Now, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody's lineage. I'm just telling you, if you stop there, then you stop too soon. So everybody must be what? Born again. Everybody. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now you gotta tell folks this, because they protect who they are.
Right, that's right.
They get mad at you, stone you for it. You saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come on back up there now. Come on back up there to verse 32. Jesus answered them, said, many good works have I shown you of my Father. So which of these works do you stone me? Why are you stoning me now? Keep going. The Jews answered him, saying, for the good works we stone you not, but for blasphemy. Notice what they call it. They call it what? Blasphemy. And because you being a man, make yourself God. Keep going. Jesus answered them, said, well, isn't it written in your law? I said, you're gods?
Yes.
I mean, wait a minute now. I don't know what I'm saying. Didn't the scripture say that you are gods? Now, wait a minute. Now, you call it blasphemy, but I'm calling it scripture. Folks, I really believe that you can get such a consciousness of this that cancer cannot even live on your body. You better hear what I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you this. This thing got a power to it that is in the invisible world. And that's the root of all diseases. It's in the invisible. Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm not trying to take anything away from your natural heritage. I'm not. Did I say I was trying to take anything away from that?
No.
Thank God for your grandmama, great-grandmama, granddad, so forth and so on. I'm just saying there is another heritage
yes.
that comes from the line of Abraham.
Yes.
Hoo-wee. That's why he said, beloved, now are you the sons of God. He said, children of God. Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Are you with me here? All right, now. So what did Jesus do here? He came, and one of the main reasons he came is first to glorify the Father, glorify God. What does glorify mean anyway? What is glory? Glory is the full manifestation of the nature or essence of a thing. The glory of a seed is a flower. The glory of a tree is a forest. The glory of you as a baby is what you're going to be and what you've been called to be. The glory of something. The Hebrew word is kabod. It has to do with heaviness and weightiness. And the Greek, it's doxia, I think. You know, we have the word doxology and so forth. But the glory of something. So the first thing he came to do, glorify God. Next thing he came to do is transfer, get back everything that had been stolen, to bring it back into the hands of who had been stolen from, to restore mankind, to restore him to his rightful place, or here, her to her rightful place. So Jesus came to do that. He came to reintroduce the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God had been cut off out of the Garden of Eden because of Adam and Eve's sin. But now that kingdom now is coming, and Jesus is reintroducing it again, and that kingdom of God is invading in this earth. Now, part of the kingdom of God are the culture of the kingdom, or the laws of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom. And part of that kingdom is justice. Justice, that's a part of the kingdom of God. And justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. Lord have mercy. Can y'all just receive what I'm saying here? All right. So, now, Jesus then came and he started preaching. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings, preach the gospel to the poor. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Keep going. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Next verse. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Which scripture? Which scripture? That one right there. That one right there. But what we did is went over to Isaiah chapter 61, where he preached it from, and we found that that scripture wasn't the end of that particular chapter. So let's go back to Isaiah 61, and I'll read that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, given to them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Then he says, and they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. Let's skip all the way down, keep going. Verse 8, for the Lord loves what?
Judgment.
Loves judgment. Now I ask you to put in your Bible, justice. And I hate what?
Robbery
for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Keep going. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Wow. Okay. So, Now what we said is Jesus didn't preach some of that. He closed the book and sat down because what he preached, he was going to do. But if you know anything about God's word, it will not return to him void. Isaiah 55. It won't turn him void. Whatever God spoke will happen. Don't think Jesus is going to come back and one jot or tittle of that word didn't come to pass. Folks, when God saw darkness out there, what did he say? Let there be light. Was there light? Everything that God said was. Got it? Now, in this particular case, all these things that he said, now he's speaking them, but because he's given humankind authority now, they have to be the ones that carry them out. And I'm just saying that Jesus carried out his part, but now the rest of that is left for the church. Yes. Now the church is going to carry this thing out. So now he's saying, as far as vengeance is concerned, put it back up there, verse 2, please. He said this. He said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Now, wait a minute. The day of vengeance of our God. Yes. And what we said is that vengeance, glory to God, is not mad, I'm mad at you, I'm going to get you at 3 o'clock, some kind of emotional retaliation or whatever have you. We said vengeance is something that deals with the love of justice, comes out of the heart of God, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. So we said vengeance. But we found out over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, flip it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, we found out that God said vengeance belongs to him and he will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So vengeance belongs to him. Now we went further and we found out that recompense has to do with some kind of payback. It has to do, let me just get to my notes because I put something special down there for it. Recompense has to do with compensating or return of an equal for anything that's done or suffered to make amends or to pay damages. So we said that this recompense has to be there. It's part of the vengeance of God, that God's justice will be done, but then recompense also will be paid, or recompense will be a part of what is a part of that whole process of vengeance. Lord have mercy. Let me just give you a couple of things, because I'm gonna say something pretty strong here, and I just want you to not run out on me. Just stay there. Now listen at this. Listen at this. This, what I'm preaching, is right off the burner. This stuff just got cooked. This is fresh, and it takes not only revelation but guts to preach it. When I say guts, I mean you got to be strong in the Lord to preach this. Say amen to this. Now, why justice? Because without it, everything collapses. Everything collapses. The enemy has been running the earth based on his culture. Now, here come you and me. We've been born again and dipped in holiness. Now, our job is to go out and enforce the government of heaven, which comes with its own laws, which are in most many cases different than the laws you are under. So now, some of these things are going to have to change. And you and I are going to have to stand for something. Oh boy, I'm preaching now. Put up Psalm 97 verse 2, please. Over in Psalm 97 verse 2, look what it says. Clouds of darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, clouds and darkness round about him. It doesn't mean that it's a darkness or Satan's workers round about him. It means that anything compared to the throne is darker. It says here, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So we found out that the word habitation there means foundation. So righteousness and justice are flowing from the throne of God. They are the very foundation of his throne. And you need justice because without it, evil is not kept in check. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, who is the... chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, if you don't check this evil that they're doing, they'll think it's okay to do evil. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you and I have to keep evil in check. And so what we're doing, well, let me give you an example. You remember when I shared with you about the time a sister ran into our church at Lake and Pulaski and said, hey, you know, I'm having problems on my block. I need somebody to help me. And we were there. We have a little prayer meeting or something. And she came in the midst of it. I said, sister, get in this prayer. She said, they're selling drugs on my block and they're selling them. And they come out there at 4 o'clock and start selling them. And all these people and none of our kids can go play or anything. I understand. That's evil. That's evil. Now, they claim they call the police and so forth and so on. I don't even want to get into that. But then they came by the church. Now, they came by the church and told us that. And I said, get in this circle, let's pray. So we start praying. And once we start praying, the Holy Ghost spoke. Now, remember what I said, they that are led by the what? Spirit of God, these are the what? Sons of God. What I said about vengeance is that vengeance is not some emotional retaliation, but it's something that proceeds from the love of justice, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Offenders may be people, or the offenders may be the spirits. Are you with me here? All right, so what happened is we prayed, and then God spoke to me, and he said, get this bottle of oil, bless it, and let her pour it down the street, starting at one end of the block to the other. Now, wait a minute. I could have rejected that thought. But see, I'm led by the Spirit of God. And a lot of what Babylon has trained us to think rejects what God says. And that's where you got to watch it, because people say, well, now he's talking about he talks to God. Well, wait a minute. I'm afraid of anybody to talk to God. Well, I'm kind of leery of anybody that don't. See, the point is, because you're not hearing him, you don't get anything. You're still a baby Christian, and the enemy just running over your block, wow. Running over your finances, running over the family, running over your health, he's running over it. So what happened is I hear from God. I told her what to do, and because, you know, people are desperate, they do anything just about. And she got the oil, and she went down there and poured it down the street. Came back in there 4 or 5 days later, praising God to pastor. They left and didn't come back. Came back for 1 hour one day and left and wouldn't come back. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't tell her to go get a lawyer. Come on, help me now. I didn't tell her to call 911. Did I? I took care of it in the spirit. My point to you is, now watch it. He will deliver us speedily. But we gotta be led by the who? Spirit of God. So now I'm saying that there are forces that have resisted you. And there are places and destinies that you should have been by now. And you haven't been there because, now you're going to get there now after this sermon, you're going to get there. But people haven't been there because these spiritual forces have put you in their crosshairs.
Yes.
They helped the drug dealers. They helped them. They need their business. But the thing of it is they didn't help the saints. But now the latter rain starts when Jesus left. And the Holy Spirit, the number one job of him is to execute judgment upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Not in the natural, nor in the physical, or in the spiritual. Are you with me here? So here he went down there and said, and they shall build. Well, what are they going to build? The old ruined places. Put it back up there again. Psalm Isaiah 91 and 91 over to Psalm 61. Pardon me, Isaiah 61 and verse 4. She ought to know what I'm talking about. Isaiah 61 verse 4. And they shall build the old waste. Got it? Now you think about most folk that you know in church are in the same financial shape today that they were 10 years ago. Why? I'll tell you one of the biggest reasons why. Because it was supposed to be when you left, you didn't go empty. That redemption is not complete without divine provision. That a part of your departure was supposed to be recompense. But what I told you, just like in the 911 tragedy, you've got to file for it. The donkey didn't come to Jesus till he called for it. You better hear what I'm telling you. And see, now I know some, listen, if somebody around you don't want to hear this, ignore them. Ignore them in a big way. Just turn your head real nasty. Just ignore them, because listen, this is not for them. This is for grown folk. This is for grown folk. Most of the church had been babies, and that's why the devil had been running this earth like he has. This earth don't belong to the devil. No part of it belongs to the devil. Folks, I go to these countries in Africa, and I told you what happened here. I came into this particular place in Africa late at night, and this was a few years ago. And the pastor brought me in, and I was signing into the room, and the guy behind the counter said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "You know, I'm trying to be funny like him. Praise the Lord." And what happened was, I got up to the room. I said, "Why did he whisper like that? Praise the Lord." He said, "Oh, if he had said that loud, they'd have fired him." I said, "Would they?" He said, "Yeah, because so-and-so, the so-and-so religious group owns this hotel." And I said, "Well, what about that?" I said, "Well, that's one of the things. If you work here, you got to convert." I said, "Well, what about the other hotels?" He said, "They own them too." I said, "How about the banks?" He said, "They own them too." Well, wait a minute. This is my Father's world. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Put up there Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. God at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Keep going. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed, what? Heir of all things, by whom he made, whom he also he made the world. Notice, he was appointed heir of what? All things. I looked it up in the Charles B. Williams translation. It said, Jesus is the lawful owner of everything. Now, if he's the lawful owner of everything, that means I'm a joint heir with him. And it doesn't mean that he get 50% and I get 50%. It means that I get 100 and he gets 100. The Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, put it up there, please. Psalm 24 and verse 1. See, if you want to believe something, believe the word of God. The earth is the whose? Lord's. And the what? Fullness thereof. Keep going. And the world and they that dwell in it. God owns it all. Psalm 82, put it up there. And I'm telling you, because you and I or had not known some of these things, or the church in general had not walked in some of these things. Look at it says. It said in Psalm 82 and 1, the Psalm of Asaph, God standeth in the congregation of mighty, he judges among the gods. Watch this. How long will you judge unjustly and accept what wicked people are doing? This is talking to you and me. Keep going. Defend the poor, come on, and fatherless. It is nowhere that the government is supposed to be paying for the poor. The government of the kingdom supposed to be taking care of the poor. See, you can't think like that yet because you haven't had that much insight on how much money you got. Folks, Haiti's supposed to have been rebuilt by now. By the saints. That devil has been stealing. And he's been stealing what belongs to you and me. And I want mine. And I'm about to file for it. Recompense. Say recompense. See, all you have to do, God didn't release you to be broke. He told Israel, he told Moses, and Moses, tell him this. Now, I'm going to bring them out of Israel, but tell them this, that they're not coming out empty. Why? Because justice includes recompense. Somebody got to pay damages here. Now, let me use you a good natural example. Are you ready? The slaves that were released when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by Abraham Lincoln. They were released. But somebody vetoed 40 acres and a mule. The president did, Andrew Jackson. He vetoed it. He wouldn't sign it. And he wouldn't sign it, so they were released without anything. No tools, no land. No education, couldn't read, no nothing, no place to stay. What did they have to do? They had to fall back into the hands of the folks that released them. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying that anybody to get mad, because unless you walk in love, you can't inherit none of this. You can't inherit none of this. I'm just using an example, which is an example you might be able to relate to. The church got released. But somebody kept you 40 million on a jet. You let them keep your stuff. Look at what you went through. Look at what you went through since you got saved. Look at how the devil tried to put something on your body. Look how he tried to embarrass you with your husband or your marriage. Look how he tried to afflict you with this or that. All that's got to be paid for. Those are damages, folks. They got to be paid for. Say amen to this. And once you get that in your system, faith cometh. And faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Hope is earnestly expected. I'm expecting my recompense. I'm expecting God. Now, don't try to take people, because people are not the ones who holding the money. The money is being held by the devil. He's just using people. And if you don't believe it, let them get converted and try to give some to the gospel. I have seen him come in on a man's mind, and I was overseas. The man said, I got saved, and he was wealthy, man. He said, but pray for me. I can't even sleep. These voices keep ringing in my ear, and I keep seeing things. The devil was tormenting him. He was tormenting that man because that man got saved with what the devil says is his money. See, the devil thinks the land is his, the people are his, and the money is his. We're going to strip it all. We're going to get the people, the money, the land, the houses, the cities, everything he's got. We're stripping it out of his hand. Don't like me talking to you about this, but he can't do anything about it, because before he could get to my kids, he can't do it anymore, because I found out that once I walk in divine positioning, once I walk in divine protection, not only am I protected, but all my kids. What I'm saying, and I can prove it to you in the Bible. Now this has got to be preached. Justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. It's a foundation of the throne of God. Now this keeps you from getting mad at people. You don't need to get mad at them. You just do what God tells you to do. They that are led by the what? Spirit of God. Moses went down there by the Spirit of God. Said, let my people go, Pharaoh. He didn't let them go. A plague came. Let my people go, Pharaoh. Wouldn't let them go. Plague came. Let my people go, Pharaoh. Wouldn't let them go. Plague came. Plague came. Plague came. Pretty soon, Pharaoh let them go. But on their way out, Pharaoh went after them. He said, Pharaoh, you shouldn't have done that. I'm saying that everything that's chasing you from this day is going to be cut off. You will fulfill your destiny in this earth. All you got to do is believe. Sit down. Boy, y'all got me preaching hard here today. No. What happened? People have been settled and satisfied with just being saved. I'm gonna give you a divine unsettling. No, you're gonna be satisfied when you get what belongs to you. That's when you're gonna be satisfied. And God doesn't want you to leave anything on the table. I want it all, and I want it now. And I'm telling you, most of you in here, I'm going to say this, I'm going to release it. You ready? Yes. Has got about $1 billion coming. I'm not just talking about you. Yeah. I'm talking about you and what they did to your mama and your grandma and so forth and so on. Now, this just doesn't have to be for one group. Now, this is for everybody. If you're saved, you're part of that number.
Amen.
Now, if you're saved and you don't believe in justice, or you don't believe in applying justice, and that people have been treated unjustly and trying to right the unjust that people have been treated, and you don't believe in that, then you're not on his side. This is what Jesus said. You're either with me or you're against me. Let me give you a definition of the fear of the Lord. You ready? Hate what God hates and love what God loves. See, the church didn't stand up before, but we're going to stand up now. They can't touch nothing. Can't touch nothing I got. I'm telling you. See, somebody got to preach it. How can they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't this wonderful? So now, I didn't get a chance to get to it today. But I'm going to get to it next time.
Amen.
Now, Esther, I told you about Esther last time. And Haman, old wicked Haman, he had made a law. And the law that he made was to exterminate all the Jews. A law to exterminate people. That is an ungodly, unjust law. And somebody had to stand up. And they got this one woman. She said, y'all fast for me for about 3 days. Then she put on her royal apparel. Hold on just a minute. Y'all with me? What did she do? She faced and went in and she said, if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. Notice what she had to do. She had to get out of selfishness. Remember, one of the first manifestations of the curse was self-defense. What's going to happen to me? Adam, why did you do that? Well, the woman you gave me. So what am I telling you? Once she did that, the righteous become bold as a lion.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe Esther represents the church.
Yes.
And how the church got to stand in the gap for the Jews. Yes. Just stay with me now. Stay with me. Just flow with me now. So I'm here to tell you right now. Esther not only got King to change his law, but then Esther inherited all of Haman's estate and the gallows 75 feet that he had planned to hang Mordecai on. They hung Haman on. So whatever trap they set for you, what am I telling you? This is good news.
Yes.
No longer are you going to have to fight your own battle.
Amen.
For the battle is not yours, but it's God's.
Amen.
You're coming to town now representing Him.
Yes.
You are His sent one. And I'm telling you, just like nothing could touch Moses, nothing could touch Abraham or Sarah, nothing could touch David, glory to God, nothing could touch Esther, nothing could touch Ruth, nothing could touch any of them, it won't be able to touch you. Now, we're going to go into Isaiah 45. He says, command ye me. Now, we're going to go into that next time. Because you're going to act as royalty from now on.
Amen.
We're going to get our recompense.
That's right.
The church has been in lack long enough.
Right.
And we're going to get it, and we're going to get our money, but we're not going to just get it just to buy 15 Cadillacs. No, put up Isaiah 61 and verse 4 again. This is why we're going to get it. We're going to build the old waste. Watch this. We're going to raise up former desolations. We shall repair, come on, waste cities and the desolation of many generations. That's what we're going to do. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for right now. Did you get something out of that today? Yeah.